Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Well, it is me, Bob Mitchell, filling in for Scoot in the afternoon. We're talking about Mardi Gras, sharing Mardi Gras memories, and I'm going to go right to Bill. I'm not going to delay anymore because Bill has been hanging in there for quite some time. Bill, thank you, and welcome to WWL.
Hey, man, I'm calling to give you exactly what it cost to ride in a Super Crew on the Sunday before Mardi Gras.
All right.
Dues run about $650. We have a club package of beads that you buy for another $450.
Mm-hmm.
We have a Mardi Gras ball. After the Mardi Gras ball, we have a party that's about $90 a person with all you can eat and all you can drink and several bands. And we buy another 15 to 20 bags of beads, which runs us about another $700.
About $2,000 then, huh?
I would say between $2,000 and $2,500. Would be what you need to spend.
So how long have you been? Go ahead.
43 years.
43 years. Goodness gracious, Bill. What catches your eye as you're riding to make you want to throw something to someone? Do you ever look somebody in the eye and say, "I want this for you"?
Yes, absolutely. Several things. Number one is we throw baseball and bats and stuff like that. And we like the little boys. They come up to the floats. You give it to them. Their face lights up.
Mm-hmm.
We have stuffed animals for the little girls. We give the little girls the stuffed animals. Their face lights up. You know, that's what it's all about. It's all about, you know, that thing when you're riding on a float.
Bill, since you've been doing this long, what has changed the most in Mardi Gras from, let's say, when you first started riding or you first started going to the parades to the way things are today?
Well, I started going to the parades and helping out when I was 7 years old.
Wow.
I lived next door to the Comas Den.
Mm-hmm.
And as kids, we'd go next door and help them load the floats. And then eventually I graduated to a tractor driver. So, and it's just been in my blood, my family's blood forever.
I remember as a kid when I would go to the parades, I wanted more to be tractor driver than actually be on the float and throwing things. I thought that was the coolest job, driving the tractor.
Well, it's very long hours, let me say that. Very, very long hours. We would meet 12, 1 o'clock in the day if you had a night parade, and you'd probably get back to the den and put your float up somewhere around 12, 1 o'clock that night. So it's very tedious. Those guys do a great job, and they're very professional. Because if you're riding, of course, you don't want to be jerked around. You don't want your beads all over the place.
Sure.
The guys that drive today, they're very professional. And again, long hours. I mean, you know, those are guys you got to appreciate along with, of course, all the policemen and the firemen and everybody else.
Well, one of the things I found that has probably changed the most, it's our WWL Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll question, which is, do you wear a costume for Carnival? And last time I checked, it was only like maybe about 25%, and we talked a lot about this Friday. I remember a time when everybody wore costumes, and if you were out of costume, you stood out.
Yes. Well, I tell you what, we don't. I used to all the way up until, of course, I got a little bit older because we lived so close, we'd just walk out to the parades.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, we used to. Our parents used to, you know, every year, and we did it with our child. And now I agree with you. It's, you know, we go to St. Charles Avenue, and there's not a lot of people dressed. But then those who are very unique in
mm-hmm.
their way.
You're right. The people who dress now don't just throw on a bought costume. The people just seem to really work on whatever they want a mask as.
Right, right, correct. Yes, they do. You normally stay downtown,
but we
just stay now just for the weekend because we ride over the weekend. But that's the place you want to see the costumes. That's the place to be, downtown.
Oh, you're right about that. I appreciate you phoning in, Bill. We're going to go to Debbie and Picayune. Debbie, thanks for calling WWL.
Well, hey, Bob.
How are you?
I'm doing great. I rode for over 20-some-odd years with a club that originated in Chalmette and then moved into the New Orleans-St. Charles route. Over all of those years, I have one memory that does not go away, and it was on the Canal Street side of Lee Circle when I saw this child that was severely handicapped. Her family was sitting all around her, protecting her, and they were scaffolding, and you really couldn't see that well. And as the float went by, I noticed her, and as I tried to grab the biggest stuffed animals that I had for family members and all my specialties, I was able to get contact with the New Orleans police officer. And he came to the side of the float, and I overloaded him and told him specifically where I wanted all of this to go. And I will never, ever forget the look on that child's face or her family's face. And that is the memory. And I rode since I was a child on the trucks with my family. Nothing ever, ever compares to that feeling. So I encourage riders, look for the children that may not be able to get to the float. Look for the wheelchairs. Look for the disabled. You will make their day, and it will make your life.
What about babies?
Well, babies, sometimes the parents bring them up to the float. And over the years, I've given numerous, you just do it. It's things that you look for. But it was something about this severely handicapped little girl that just touched my heart. And the memory will never go away, ever, ever.
Well, Debbie, I appreciate you sharing that with us. Thank you so very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right. Let's go to Tom in Covington. Tom, you have a Mardi Gras memory you want to share with us?
Well, I remember when I was a little kid, and sometime in the 40s on Jackson Avenue, and we weren't allowed to go out of the yard. You know, they had the iron fence in the front yard, so whatever we caught had to come over the fence. And you got these little things you squeeze that sounded like a doll crying. You remember the old dolls? And you had a little metal thing that if you squeezed it, it sounded kind of like a cricket. You had those little delicate glass beads, and if they landed on the grass, they were okay, but if they landed on the porch or the sidewalk, forget it, because they broke. But it was all the, you used to call it all the Japanese junk you got thrown at you in those days. I guess maybe you remember that, I don't know.
I do remember the glass beads, and I remember that if they threw a pair and you and someone else grabbed it at the same time, it would break before anyone would pull it. They were very fragile.
Yeah, and my dad had a business on Dryad Street, and we had the bathroom there and a place to eat, and we'd go out and walk. And in those days, if you wanted to see Zulu, you had to find it, because Zulu zigzagged all over the place from barroom to barroom or wherever they decided to go.
Yeah, I seem to remember, I don't know whether it's true or not, but I seem to remember that Zulu did not necessarily have a route, that they just started marching and went where they felt. Is that correct or not?
Yeah, they didn't have a set route. Mm-hmm. I don't remember what years that was.
I don't either.
I think Louis Armstrong was on that parade, I think in 49, but I don't remember seeing him. But it was probably in the 40s, maybe early 50s.
Mm-hmm.
But we'd walk around, and you didn't have to worry about anything going on then, like anybody clubbing you or robbing you or anything like that. I almost never heard of anything like that. But, you know, I was a little kid, and we'd walk all over the place and come back and eat whatever, have a place to rest. So the early days were different, and we used to catch, you know, we'd try to catch Zulu, and then you'd try to catch Rex and the truck parades and all that stuff.
It seems to me, from what I can remember, and maybe because we went as a family, that Mardi Gras was a lot more family-oriented then. I know, my mom and my brother and sisters, you know, we went, and Mom would make the costumes herself. And, you know, the whole neighborhood, you'd go outside, and Mardi Gras Day, everybody was in costume. Like I said, very few people were not in costume. And you would walk. It was nothing. It was really nothing to be somewhere around Claiborne and Elysian Fields and walk to Canal Street for the parades, because you felt safe. But I do not remember. I don't remember at what age my mother let me go alone. That I don't remember. But, Tom, I appreciate you phoning in. Anything else you want to add before I go to my commercial break?
Well, I remember the flambeaux in a lot of the parades at night, and especially the ones that used to go down Royal Street, and Channel 6 would rebroadcast them right after the news every night, mm-hmm. I think in the early 70s. And you could see the flambeaux, and you could get a real bird's-eye view of the parade because they put the camera up on the balcony.
Mm-hmm.
And I suggested one time that Channel 12 do a documentary on that, and they said, well, they would, except all the films got destroyed.
Oh, that'd be hard to do then. Tom, thank you for phoning in. Our phone number is 260-1870. We have several lines open. We're asking you to share some early Mardi Gras memories, things that you remember maybe when you first started watching parades as a kid. And as far as what's going on right now with the floats, what are some of the best floats you have seen this year? And what crew has the best throws? And who throws the most? And do you save your throws? I'd be great if you shared with me some of the throws that you've saved over the years, and why are you saving them? 260-1870. Bob Mitchell in for Scoot in the afternoon. Catherine, you will be first up when we come back on WWL. Well, we're getting you ready for Mardi Gras, swapping and sharing Mardi Gras memories, some of the first things you remember about Mardi Gras, and how much has Mardi Gras changed? We were talking to our last caller about there was a time when everyone masked and you could pretty much walk anywhere you wanted to. How much has Mardi Gras changed? And if you have seen some parades this year, how many have you seen? And what are some of the best floats you have seen this year? And who throws the most? Let's go to Catherine in Metairie. Catherine, thanks for calling WW. Are you getting ready for Mardi Gras?
Oh, yeah, we're ready, but we really don't do too much anymore. We grew up on Leisure Hills and Rampart. And Mardi Gras for us started with walking with Pete Fountain. My mm-hmm. dad had a lot of friends, and he knew everybody. And it used to start down Leisure Hills near the river at some Masonic Hall or something. And we joined them in the morning and walked all the way until we couldn't walk anymore. Sometimes it was on the other side of Canal Street. And they stopped at every bar known to man, okay? And when we got too far away, we decided to come home and came back and end up on St. Claude. And all the people who spent the day on Canal Street catching everything threw them out the car windows to us on the way home. So we didn't have to go to Canal Street at all. We got everything just sitting on St. Claude waiting for people to go back home to Chalmette.
Now, I mentioned this yesterday. If you were at St. Claude and Elysian Fields, that's where you saw the Mardi Gras Indians, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, we walked down the Circle Food Market sometime mm-hmm. and see a lot of things there. But Mardi Gras for us started with Pete Fountain and ended when Pete Fountain's club came back. There was a bar right on the corner of Rampart and Elysian Fields, and they all stopped there, and they dumped the instruments on the sidewalk. And Mardi Gras Day was officially over when Pete Fountain was carried out of the bar and put into a club. Literally carried. That's when our Mardi Gras was over. We knew it was ended.
Yeah.
And when Pete was carried to a car, and they picked up the instruments and went home.
Now, do you save your throws?
Oh, yeah. I've got some coconuts and a few little glass beads and things like that. We can't say too much of that plastic.
Yeah, so what classic throws that you hold on to? Maybe some doubloons, because doubloons are not as popular today as they used to be.
No, I don't really have. We got, I think, a bronze doubloon from Endymion one year because my aunt knew Ed Muniz's mother.
Mm-hmm.
She lived in Gentilly. And Miss Mamie, and she would always say, something's wrong with Edmund. I don't know what's wrong with Edmund. All he cares about is that parade.
Yeah.
And he was a teenager, I guess.
Uh-huh.
And then when it got big, she got invites to the ball, and I got a bronze doubloon from Endymion, but didn't really save doubloons, mostly mm-hmm. the glass beads.
Mm-hmm. You still got a bunch of them saved?
No, I got two or three. I wish I had a bunch. No, I got two or three, and I got a few coconuts because we knew some riders in Zulu, but I said my dad knew everybody. Eventually, we knew everyone. He even found out later in life when it was too late to do anything about it, but he knew Margus. He knew him as Sid.
Mm-hmm.
And he met at a garage sale, I think, Mutt and Jeff, two friends mm-hmm. of his, and they were talking about this guy, Sid. And later I said, Dad, who's the Sid guy? Oh, that's the guy that does that crazy Margus thing on television. If I had only known that he knew Margus from Fantastic Four. He was a Sid, you know, a guy in crazy costumes.
So you want to shake the hand of the man that knew Margus, right?
I wish they had made Margus a king of a parade. He should have been a king somewhere. Somehow.
People who are listening, a lot of them have no idea what we're talking about. Morgus the Magnificent was a character here. I think he did horror movies back in maybe 1960 or something like that.
An original. And he took it seriously, and it was hysterical. I loved Morgus. We found out later that we kind of knew Morgus, but then nobody thought much of it.
Listen, I can remember this. And on a Saturday night, I would actually cut my date short to get home to watch Morgus the Magnificent. I appreciate you.
I remember going home from school at lunchtime to see Soupy Sales on television. Now, how far back is that?
Well, I wasn't a Soupy Sales fan. I will admit to being a Morgus fan. Thank you so much. Let's go to Johnny calling from Baton Rouge. Johnny, thanks for calling WWL.
Yes, sir. One thing I do remember, I'm going back many years. My first Mardi Gras were in Mobile, Alabama, and they started out, and I still miss them, but the big thing back then that I remember, everybody threw confetti, the beautiful coloration, and I'm sure we didn't need no in New Orleans, all that paper everywhere, but confetti was everywhere. I remember that, and I remember everybody wore the hats with the feathers, and everybody did wear masks. I remember y'all talking, I believe, yesterday about everybody being masked up. As a kid, that was a real thrill.
Well, with Mardi Gras, what I remember as a young kid, that was just one of the things of Mardi Gras, that you could be on Mardi Gras Day, you could be anybody or anything you wanted to be, and that's why people would mask. And now we just let me read, if you don't mind, let me read the results of our WWL Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll question, which is, do you wear a costume for carnival? You can go to WWL.com. This is the way it is. 85% say no, they do not wear a costume. Only 15% do wear a costume.
Well, the incognito was the thing back then.
Right.
And as a kid, we had moved to New Orleans, and my mom and dad, everybody dressed up, too.
Right.
Everybody back in those days put a suit and tie on, or they dressed up. It's kind of like the Ozzie and Harriet days. But I was maybe 9, 10 years old, 1960, 61, and we went to town. Dad parked the car somewhere downtown. He grabbed my mom and my hand. We took off walking down Canal. And we was in a crowd of people. He's got his hat on, his up north overcoat. It was a cold, cold day. I do remember. And all of a sudden, we're in a line of people, and this line broke open, and these men started opening up like a gateway. We were walking. Next thing I know, we were walking in this path, and here were these bleachers.
Got to go, Johnny. Totally out of time. So sorry. We're going to go to news and then come right back. So what are some of the best floats you have seen so far this year at the parades, plus which one had the best throws and who threw the most? And what is your earliest Mardi Gras memory? 260-1870. Johnny, I'll be with you in just a second. Let me read this text message. Earliest Mardi Gras memory, I was about first or second grade. My parents and two brothers were on bourbon at the old Absinthe House. Parents were drinking, and my brothers and I were bumming money and running up to Canal Street to watch the parades and buying corn on a stick, sitting on the sidewalk, watching people and eating our corn. Those were the days. No worries, and didn't have to worry about someone hurting us. Let's go to Johnny, calling from Baton Rouge. How are you, Johnny?
I'm doing wonderful, thinking about the old days of Mardi Gras.
How, in your opinion, Johnny, how has Mardi Gras changed?
It got worse. It really has. But I think it's growing back, and they're starting to get a little bit better. We used to do some Mardi Gras in New Orleans. Now I'm doing it in Baton Rouge and with the Italian crew. But most of them guys, we had a meeting. We have our 7 o'clock meeting, and by 7:30, we don't know what we're doing. So That's why we ended up doing just the French Quarter. So when we come to Baton Rouge and we're doing the Spanish Town mm-hmm. and the Italian crew, we have a good time up here. And going to come back down there. And you're talking about who to throw the beads to.
Sure.
It's talking about the people that flash. Please, the 90% that flash, don't do that. That's the ones that you don't need to flash.
Now, we had a caller on earlier and said that the flashing has really greatly reduced. He said back in the, I think he said the late 90s, everyone was doing it, but he said it's really died down a lot, which is good. Because with kids around, you don't need to do that.
No, with children around and family values and all, people don't need to do that whatsoever. And it'd be like me going somewhere up in Cincinnati. Or going, you know, that's what I tell people.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want me to come to your town and start, you know, using the bathroom on the street or start having people? How would you feel about it, seeing people doing stuff like that on your street corner? So don't come down here in my country thinking that it's okay to do that, too.
So, Johnny, you stay pretty much in Baton Rouge for Mardi Gras. You don't come to New Orleans anymore at all?
Oh, yeah, I come to New Orleans, but still... we do most of our Mardi Gras in Baton Rouge, but I still love the New Orleans Mardi Gras scene.
What you have a favorite parade? Is there any Mardi Gras event or parade that is a must every year? It's part of your tradition that you have to do a certain thing every Mardi Gras, see a certain thing.
Not really, but Rex is still one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm. Rex is so classic.
The funny thing was when I was a kid. Me and my mom and dad, we come to New Orleans. He parked the car, grabbed me and my mom's hand. We were walking down Canal Street. We ended up in the crowd. And all of a sudden, he had his hat on and his coat, his long coat, winter's coat. And we ended up in the crowd. And we were moving through people. And we ended up in these grandstands. These men were moving out of the way and just opened the gate.
Mm-hmm.
Next thing I know, my dad's telling me, keep my mouth shut and just sit still. Come to find out, we were in the grandstands. They thought my dad was one of the state cops or FBI. Four people down was the governor and the mayor of New Orleans at that time. I don't know. That's like in 61 or 62. Mm-hmm. And they had us. We had our own private seat showing.
Isn't that great? That is great.
It was a thrill.
Well, Johnny, I appreciate you phoning in.
Thank you very much, and happy Mardi Gras.
Same to you. All right, our phone number is 260-187. You can text me at 870-870. Here's just a few of the things we're talking about because it's Mardi Gras. And anything Mardi Gras, if you want to phone in, you can do how Mardi Gras is changed. Do you have any a grumble, a pet peeve about Mardi Gras? You can call with that. If you have been to the parades, what are some of the best floats you have seen this year? Plus, who has the most throws? And if you're going out tomorrow, what is your game plan for Mardi Gras Day? Do you bring ladders? Do you claim a piece of neutral ground? Maybe some of you have already scouted out where you're going to be. Do you fire up the grill? I mean, I've seen some people. I mean, it's like a full cooking show for. I mean, they bring a pit. They make some jambalaya, do some barbecue. So what is your game plan for tomorrow? And when you look back on things and remember things, what's your earliest Mardi Gras memory? You can call me at 260-1870. Got a bunch of lines open so you can get right through, coming right back on WWL. Well, this afternoon we're munching on king cake and thinking about Mardi Gras. I'll get to the phones in less than a minute. I do want to read this one text message, if that's okay with you. My dad, who passed, would get up on Mardi Gras morning and run all over trying to catch Zulu, because Zulu had no route. Then he'd come home, take the family to Rex and Trucks, go back out, and close the night out with Comus. That's a Mardi Gras family. All right, let's go to George in Mandeville. George, thanks for calling. How are you this afternoon?
I'm doing great, Bob. How you doing?
I'm hanging in there. That's what I'm doing. How about you?
Right. Actually, wonderful. Beautiful day today. One of my favorite memories would be back when I was in high school, back in the mid-60s. And after the Rex and then Elks, they had the Trucks Parade. And so we, high school fraternities and sororities were pretty big deal back in the in the 60s in New Orleans. And so we put together a truck and rode down. And I remember when we turned onto Canal Street, you from the foot of Canal Street to probably Rampart, it was nothing but people. You couldn't see the sidewalk. And it was just an incredible, but that was, they weren't parading out in the parishes then. So it was just Orleans Parish. And going down St. Charles Avenue and riding and seeing all that, it was absolutely incredible.
You know, I rode a couple of years in Endymion, and when you make that turn onto Canal Street, it is just absolutely overwhelming. I remember the year that we got Alice Cooper to ride as Grand Marshal, and I was the one who was able to set that up. And didn't speak much to him, but probably maybe 3-4 days after Mardi Gras, I get a phone call. My secretary says it's Alice Cooper on the phone. I think somebody's pulling my leg, okay? But I talked to him, and he said, I want to thank you so much for arranging that. He said, you know, I've performed at Madison Square Garden. I've performed at the Hollywood Bowl. He said, but nothing, absolutely nothing, compares to that when you make that turn and you see all these screaming thousands and thousands of people, and that is true. That is an absolute experience for you.
It's just it's hard to explain. There's certain things that you experience in life, whether it's seeing the Alps or the Rocky Mountains. You know, until you physically do it and be there yourself, it's just you can't describe it to someone.
And when you do it the first time, it stuns you. It's almost like someone hits you with a stun gun. People tell you about it, but like you said, until you actually experience it, it's just unbelievable.
Absolutely. Another thing you were talking about earlier, what's changed the most? I think I agree that fewer people mask and costume than they used to. And also, maybe a good thing, there's more street vendors, people hawking their wares than there were in the past.
Right. So. Georgia,
anyway,
go ahead.
Have a great day. I'll be down in the Marigny tomorrow. Used to do the uptown route, Napoleon and St. Charles for many, many, many years. But doing a little quieter scene down in the Marigny.
So what's your game plan? Are you going to go set up anything or just hang out?
I tell you what, I'm meeting some people down in the back of the Marigny early tomorrow morning around 9 o'clock. We're going to eat and drink, and then we'll form our own little marching group. There's probably be 15 or 18 of us, and we're all going to be dressed, and we will walk through the Marigny, probably down Esplanade, maybe go into the back of the quarter, and then just kind of move around place to place for 3 or 4 hours, 4 or 5 hours, and then call it a day.
Will you be dressed as anything special?
Well, I've got a Saint shirt that says, you know, with the big fleur-de-lis, says we were robbed. I've got a black and gold tuxedo jacket with gold sequins on it, and I'm going to have a little hat, top hat on, and so I'm basically going as a Saint fan that's expressing the fact that we got a raw deal.
All right. Thank you, George. You have a good, safe time. Let's go to Jackie and Harvey. Jackie, thanks for calling. You have a Mardi Gras memory you want to share with everyone?
Yes, I do. Thanks, Bob, for my call.
You're welcome.
I actually have two. One about what changed, and another is like a miracle or just some gratification. Well, my mother and father took her down. I don't know what street it was. I was young. This is mid-50s, so a lot of you kind of maybe relate to what I'm talking about. Well, my dad, he was kind of, he didn't want to be in the crowd, but he did take us down, so we kind of stood back off from the crowd. So we weren't able to catch a lot of things off the float. And I wanted some of those beads so bad. And, you know, this is the time, remember they had the glass beads, remember those?
Mm-hmm.
They were beautiful, so I wanted some glass beads. We didn't get a thing, so my dad was ready to go, so we were leaving. As we were leaving, going back to have a car, they had a lady walking down with a string of beads around her neck. And she looked, I said, oh, look at all the beads. And she looked, and she said, would you like some? I said, yes. She took off a couple of pairs and gave me a pair of and I had two other sisters, my older sister, my sister next to me. And we all got some beads, and we were so gratified with that. Another thing is, my parents wouldn't buy us any masks. All it was just a plain mask, you know, a different color mask, the purple the green or the yellow. And that's all we wanted, just that. We're not buying no mask. There were five of us. We didn't buy no mask. So we're just glad to be at the parade. That's what we were happy about. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I don't know how many of y'all remember these. This is back in the day before plastic bags came out. Swagman would have masks on the back of the bags when you get your groceries. Remember that?
I sure do. Yes.
Yes. So we got some of the bags and got home because they made groceries around the time. And we cut those masks out. And we put them on, we put strings on them, put a little hole through it. It had a little string configuration where you cut the, put the string at. We put those on, and then we had a beautiful autograph from there. And we didn't go back to the parade, but we were able to put them on around the house. But I was happy for that. So that's Jack, the album the most.
I appreciate you calling, Jack. Great stories. All right, Lewis, Cecilia, Al, the rest of you, hang on. I'll take a break. I'll get right back to you on WWL. Let's get right back to our phones. We'll go to Lewis and Kenner. Lewis, thanks for calling WWL. Hi, Lewis. Lewis, are you there? All right, put Lewis on hold, and then we'll take the next call. We'll go to Cecilia. Cecilia, thank you for calling WWL.
Thank you for having me. I've been trying.
So you want to share a great Mardi Gras memory with us?
Well, I'm 76 years old, and I've only missed three Mardi Gras in my life.
Goodness gracious. Where do you normally watch Mardi Gras?
When I was a child, we was always at St. Charles and St. Mary.
Mm-hmm.
And until I moved out to, I stayed at St. Charles and St. Mary till I moved to Mississippi in 72, and then I started going to the going down there.
Mm-hmm.
But back in the days when I was young, we used to, me and my cousins and all, my sisters, we used to do a snake line up to the Canal Street and go to the show in the afternoon, and we were totally safe. Our mothers was back at St. Charles and St. Mary.
What parades do you remember watching?
Everyone that came on St. Charles.
So what, this is Mardi Gras Day?
Yes. Because there used to be a big lap between the Rex and the Comas.
Yeah, did you stay for the truck parades, too?
That was before they ever had that.
Okay. So this must have been
I
wasn't around then, but I remember when I was a young kid, late 50s and early 60s, I know the truck parades were there then.
Yeah, they were just starting. Mm-hmm. There wasn't as many then, and we did watch them there at St. Charles and St. Mary.
All right, Cecilia, thank you so much. Let's go to Al. Al, thank you for calling WWL. What's on your mind?
How y'all?
Doing fine.
How you doing?
Doing fine. Hanging in there.
Okay. My earliest memories go back to my childhood. My grandfather owned a sporting goods store on Rampart Street called Roland's. And we used to go down to his store and, Mardi Gras at Rampart Street in the store.
Mm-hmm.
Back then, the parade used to finish up at the municipal auditorium.
Right.
So they passed right in front of the stores. But I also remember the parades that used to go in the quarter. I can remember Iris being in the quarter for years. And, they'd come down Royal Street.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing I remember are the beads, the glass beads. I have a lot of the early doubloons from Rex, Mid-City, those areas, those parades back in the early 60s. I can't remember when they started throwing doubloons, but I got quite a bit of them.
I think someone said 1960. Doubloons are no longer a big thing. At one time, all people wanted, you know. So
that's right. And they threw them by the bucket full.
Right.
I also remember, I grew up in Gentilly, and I remember back then, the crews that paraded in Gentilly. You had Pandora and Hercules.
Thank you. Thank you, Al. Coming right back after the news on WWL.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.